Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on natural disasters when we come back. Well, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small. But you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law when they put into our Constitution, at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." But in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. In place of just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coins. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our country? Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons that we teach here in our business school, conducted twice a year here at the law school. If you'd like to learn more, call and order my free general law CD package. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. And our Mosaic Law School and our business schools are both available on compact disc, cover the same information. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, click onto our email machine, and then send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're back with more on disasters. The general belief when we talk about catastrophes and natural disasters, whether they're wildfires or droughts or tidal waves or earthquakes, is that it's a random event that we have no control over, and neither does anybody else. And so it's just like throwing the dice. You never know what number is coming up next. Well, I'm disagreeing with that in this series of programs, and I contend that there is a way to address these natural catastrophes. There is a way to alleviate them and to eliminate them. That they are indeed man-caused, but not for the same reasons that Al Gore alleges that it's our fault that we have global warming. It's true we've got global warming, and it's true that it's our fault, but it's not from burning gasoline in our cars or turning on switches and using electricity in our homes. The little different take that I construe to this is based upon Bible prophecy, based upon the scripture and the laws, the statutes, judgments, and commandments that we got out at Mount Sinai from God himself, who gave it to our servant Moses, our first prophet, our first chief executive officer. And that as a result of a violation of the terms and conditions of a contract entered into about 3,100 years ago, there is now repercussions called the penal clause in the contract is being called. There's a foreclosure going on. Foreclosure. Hurricane Katrina is a part and parcel of that foreclosure action. You know, it's a cause and effect relationship. I don't deny that. but the cause and effect is something different than what you've been told. So in the last program, I mentioned that I didn't think about getting involved with the Hurricane Katrina relief effort down there, because it looked like to me those people got punished down there by an unseen hand from somewhere. Your mayor down in New Orleans, Ray Nagin, he made an observation along this. It looked like to him that God himself had done this, and that's what it looked like to me. God himself did this. And for me to go down there and get involved in it would be like grabbing my old man's arm and telling him, no, no, don't whip little Jimmy. I tested that once. It didn't work then. I didn't think that that intervention down there in New Orleans or the Gulf Coast is going to help me either, so I thought I'd butt out. Not that I don't have some empathy for you people down there, but I think the conclusion, I mentioned this to you last, and I'm going to mention it to you right at the opposite, or at the onset here of this program. I think that you people down on the Gulf Coast will get more mileage out of the Ten Commandments than you will out of Allstate. I think that you're going to do better by obeying God and keeping His commandments than you are by obeying FEMA and practicing the laws of the United States. Now, I noticed that the very first thing that you people fixed down there on the Gulf Coast were your casinos. And that makes all the sense in the world. After all, the state of Mississippi gets $75 million a year in tax revenue off those casinos, and I don't blame them for wanting to get those casinos up and running as soon as possible. Because if I had a whorehouse down there, I'd want to get my whorehouse back up and running just as fast as possible to replace my stream of income. But I want to point out to you that the businesses and the homeowners, the people that lived in Biloxi and the people that lived in New Orleans, you know, they've got to have a place to live before they can come back there and work. So my common sense would say to me, it seems like to me that we ought to be building those houses back there for those people to live in and their businesses so that they can have their jobs back so that they can get that thing rolling. But the first thing we did was we rebuilt the casinos, and I imagine the second thing was to rebuild the whorehouses. I imagine those are the two most important economic advancements to the Gulf Coast. Gambling casinos and whorehouses. Okay, well, now that you've got that job done, I guess you can get back to the real business of rebuilding the Gulf Coast, which is rebuilding the homes, the lives, and the families of the people that live there. But I wanted to go a step further and ask the question, well, how come God didn't prevent that hurricane to start with? I mean, did you people, as this hurricane's coming in, I remember it took a week for it to get there. During that week, did any of you people down there pray? Did one or two of you say, oh, Jesus, by the way, would you send that hurricane over to Corpus Christi, Texas? Or Houston? Or Brownsville? Or Mobile, Alabama? Or Tampa, Florida? Anywhere but New Orleans? Biloxi? Huh? Did you? Because, you know, if I didn't live down there, but if I would have, I would have been praying mightily. Oh, God, save me from this hurricane. Now, after the hurricane strikes, knocks your house down, and wipes you out, it should be pretty obvious by that time that God did not answer your prayer. Well, maybe He did answer your prayer, but didn't give you the answer that you was looking for. You know, a lot of times people do that, you know. You're out here praying, you know, for this or that, and it doesn't happen. And so then the preacher, he's got to come up with an excuse. And that isn't, well, it isn't that God is ticked off at you and He's punishing you. Because that doesn't play well in Poughkeepsie. People don't want to hear that. So the trained pulpit parrots, they come back and they say things like, well, God's will be done, and God's ways are so high above our ways that we just can't understand why God does what He does, but He does it anyway, and we just have to understand. I get tired of that crap, you know. I can only listen to so much horses patooties, you know, for so long, you know, and then I get impatient. My adrenaline starts to flow. So now down on the Gulf Coast, you know, that hurricane has God Almighty's fingerprints all over it. And that Hurricane Rita, that was another one, had His fingerprints all over it. And then that tsunami that happened out there in the Indian Ocean had His fingerprints all over it. And it was even more than that. It had His written confession all over it. I mean, in writing, this guy that, you know, you commonly call him God, this guy, God or Jesus or Buddha or whoever you call him, this guy said, if you people down there on planet Earth give me any more fits and starts, I'm going to come unhinged on you. And I read that to you. It was in Leviticus chapter 26. And there's 20 places in there. He uses the first person pronoun, I. We'll do this. I will do that. I am going to do this to you. And then when he does it, we read in the National Geographic magazine, and let me give you the date and time, for the April 2005 issue. This is April 2005, and is talking about the tsunami in the Indian Ocean. This is before Hurricane Katrina now. See, Katrina occurred in August, and this is back in April. And they're reporting on the tsunami in the Indian Ocean. And the headline says, tsunamis, where next? With danger waiting in every ocean, detection is key. Detection is key. Excuse me, hold it. I'm going to take issue with the headline. Excuse me, I think that detection is something that happened after the fact. Detection is something that occurs after the earthquake and the tsunami has already been triggered. I think we need to take action before the tsunami, before the earthquake. I think we need to go to God and say, hey, God, wait a minute, wait a minute. You got our attention now. I watched Hurricane Katrina. I watched Hurricane Rita. And I watched the tsunami. You got my attention. Okay. What is it that you're bummed out about? Why is it that you keep punishing us this way? What is it that we did that makes you behave so violently toward us? I think that's the place to start. It's a wild new idea. Now, Jesus, you know, the sweet guy that everybody's talking about on Sunday morning, sweet Jesus had some comments about that, and so I've been relating those comments to you in Matthew 24. And he said there's going to be earthquakes. And then I related to you in Matthew 4:4, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I pointed out to you that the only words available at the time he made the statement were the 39 books of the Old Testament. And that statement itself was taken right out of Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. I mean, Jesus was quoting from Moses time after 435. Did you know that? Did you know that in the New Testament, all you Christians out there, there are 435 direct citations, direct quotations, direct statements that come right out of the Old Testament? Kind of made me wonder, well, why in the world would Jesus cite from the Old Testament if it was nailed to the cross and it was done away with? And one of the first things that Jesus said is, don't be deceived by these Christian lying hypocrites and false prophets. Let me repeat that in case you missed it. Jesus said in Matthew 24, watch out that you don't be deceived by the lying false prophets. All right. So the next time you hear some preacher get up there and say, well, Jesus did away with the Ten Commandments, I think it's a lying deception. Now, in order to get ahead of this cycle, to get ahead of these earthquakes out here, I think it's kind of important that we obey God and keep His commandments. And so, last thing, in the last program, I pointed out, in Matthew 19:16, a guy came up to Jesus and said, hey, what do I have to do to get salvation? What do I need to do to go to heaven? What do I have to do to get whatever it is that you're selling and offering? So Jesus said, okay, gather around, kids, and let me tell you. Keep the commandments. And he cited five of the Ten Commandments, which is why I came to a conclusion that you people down on the Gulf Coast, I think you're going to get more mileage out of the Ten Commandments than out of the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. Now, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Communism is a way of life in America. Communism is the way of life on the Gulf Coast. Communism is what you've always been practicing. I assume that communism is what you love, like, and want to continue practicing, but I think it causes hurricanes. Yeah. I think it causes hurricanes, and I think if you want to get ahead of earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis, tidal waves, tornadoes, and etc., I think we got to go back to practicing the Ten Commandments. That's my take on it. So here's the last page of the article over here, and they get real scientific. They talk about asteroids and landslides, volcanoes, earthquakes, and you know, it's a scientific publication. God isn't mentioned. They never once said God created this earthquake. God created this and killed a quarter of a million people. They never blamed God. They never gave him credit. They never even mentioned him. Just ignored him totally. This is a random event. Nothing more, nothing less. And then they point out here that in the last paragraph says, while the massive cleanup and reconstruction efforts proceed, conservationists and community leaders are calling for a slowdown of development and a speed up in planting natural barriers. In recent decades, shrimp farms, resorts, and industrial projects have leveled vast tracts of mangroves. The hope now is that a green wall will rise before the crushing waves come again. Oh, okay. So before the crushing waves come again, which we all presume is certainly going to happen again, we need to plant more mangrove swamps to absorb the energy of the tsunami wave to protect us in the future. Well, okay, if that's what you want to do, get after it. Wouldn't it be better if you didn't have the earthquake and didn't have the tidal wave? Wouldn't it be better if you didn't have another Hurricane Katrina? Now remember back here in Leviticus 26, I hammered away on this one and I pointed out 20 times. Let me give you a couple of more. He says, I'm going to bring a sword. Verse 25, I'm going to bring a sword. That's war. I'm going to bring a war upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. Well, what is the quarrel of his covenant? What is he bummed out about? What is it that made this guy so mad that he is punishing us? And he says, listen to this. If you will not yet for all of this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Well, there's the answer. It's for your sins. So now you got to ask, well, what is sin? What did I do when I sinned that made this guy so mad that he sent a hurricane down here and destroyed my home, took my job, impoverished me? Okay, here's the answer. In Matthew 19, verse 16, when this guy asked the question, what good thing do I have to do? Jesus told him, keep the Ten Commandments. Now, down in Alabama, you had a judge down there. His name was Roy Moore, a real off-the-wall guy. I mean, this guy is bonkers. Can you believe the Chief Justice of the State Supreme Court putting the Ten Commandments into the state capitol? My God, horror of horrors. The Ten Commandments in a government building? So they fired him, threw him out of office, and took the Ten Commandments out. Well, okay. Now, you people down there in Alabama had a choice to make, and you made it. And you people in New Orleans, you had a choice to make, and you made it. You know, all of us, everywhere, wherever you live, whatever you do, you've got choices to make in life, and you've made those choices. Now, here in America, we used to practice the Ten Commandments, and we did not practice the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. Did you know there was a time in America when we did not have paper money? Yeah, I know it was a brief period. I admit that. But there was a time when there was no paper money. We used to have gold and silver coin. And that's what God told us to use in the Bible. That's what our founding fathers discovered after 100 years of fiat paper currency and the collapse of our economy in 1783, the collapse of our monetary system before the Constitution was written in 1787, which inspired Roger Sherman, who was the chief architect of Article 1, Section 10, of our Constitution. No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts. And our founding fathers sat down and they said, you know, we have been reproved. We have been chastened by this paper money. Let us now repent before God. And let us write into our Constitution these 17 words, no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. And they did. And that's what we followed. Now some time went by. And somebody woke up one day and they said, ah, This gold and silver is a barbaric relic of the ancient past, and what we need is something more progressive. This is a banker telling you this now. We need paper money. That's because the banker makes money off of paper money, and I don't blame bankers for wanting paper money. I'm not opposed to bankers. I'm not opposed to bankers raping, robbing, and pillaging old ladies, women, children, and orphans. God bless them. Get after it. I'm just opposed to bankers raping, robbing, pillaging, and stealing from me. Now, there is a guy that's real concerned about this, and his name is God, and well, we call him God. That isn't really his name, but that's what we call him. And he gave us a law. He said, you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. He said, thou shalt not steal. And our founding fathers, being chastened by their experiences from 1690 to 1783, said, we're going to write that into our Constitution. We're going to practice that. And from 1787 to about 1913, we Americans became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world, politically, economically, militarily. I mean, we had it all. And somebody came along and said, you know what you people in America need is a central bank like all the nations of Europe. And so we created a central bank called the Federal Reserve System. Nothing's been the same since. Now, if you want to know why we're trillions of dollars in debt and why we can't balance our budget and why our economy is about to collapse, it's because of paper money, cause and effect. Okay, now that's a sin. And we're going to pay a penalty for that sin. All of us. Whether we like it or not, we're all going to pay that penalty. But there's other penalties to pay. You know, you're out here trying to ding the neighbor lady next door. And then there, he finds out about that, and she comes over and shoots you. Cause and effect. Or maybe she's just very, very dissatisfied at home, and so you're just kind of having a little rendezvous, and maybe it's just a little adultery here and a little adultery there, and you know, a little adultery here and a little adultery there, and pretty soon that adds up to divorce, remarriage, juvenile delinquency, alimony, child support, loss of your property, cause and effect. I mean, you know, choices have to be made. We make choices, and that's what happens. And these wrong choices are called sin in the Bible, S-I-N. Preachers don't know what this sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. You'll see that in 1 John 3, verse 4. Write it down. 1 John 3, verse 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. It's the violation. It's crime. It's a violation of a statute. And that's what this guy is bummed out about. He's bummed out about your breach of contract. You see, back around 1329 BC, God comes down on Mount Sinai and he says, gather around, boys and girls, and let me tell you the story. And he told us a story. He said, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt do no murder. You shall have no other gods before me. Give us these Ten Commandments. And he said, now, if you follow this law, I will give you these benefits. And he articulated a number of benefits. He said, I'm going to give you rain in due season. I'll make you the head and not the tail. Everything you put your hand to do will prosper. He gave us 33 benefits to go along with this reciprocity on the contract. It's called the Old Covenant. This Old Covenant is recorded. Write this down. I'm going to tell you where the contract is. You can read the contract for yourself. The contract is located in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. And it goes on through Exodus 19, 20, 21, 22, Exodus 23, until you get to Exodus 24, verse 7. So it's Exodus 19, verse 16 through Exodus 24, verse 7. There's the terms and conditions of the contract. That's what we agreed to. And we didn't perform on the contract. That means we're in breach of contract. And the other side of the contract says, I'm ticked off, I'm bummed out, I am mad as hell. And here's what I'm going to do about this. And so he gives us two penal clause chapters, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. So today I thought I would pick up Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it tells you the other half of what Leviticus 26, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 didn't tell you. Here's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would put it. So in the first 13 verses, he says, you do this, and here's what I'm going to give you. He says, listen, I want to give you all these benefits. I'm going to give you rain in due season. I'm going to take these hurricanes, earthquakes, tidal waves, and I'm going to lay them on your enemies, but I'm not going to lay them on you. And our forefathers, 84 generations back, this is a long time ago. This contract was written a long time ago, and that's probably why you forgot about it, because it's so old. But he wrote this 84 generations ago. A generation is 40 years, not 20. 40. So just take 84 times 40, and that's how many years ago he wrote this contract. And your great, 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 great granddaddy said, quote, this is in Exodus 24:7, all that the Eternal has said we will do and be obedient. That was his agreement. That agreement ratified the terms and conditions of a contract that gave you certain benefits, 33 articulable benefits, such as rain in due season, remember I mentioned, and everything you touch turns to gold like the Midas touch and so on. All right. Now, you've been collecting those benefits. If you're an American, a Canadian, an Australian, a Briton, a Frenchman, a Swede, a Norwegian, an Irishman, if you are one of the tribes of Israel, you've collected on those benefits. You've been collecting on them now for a couple hundred years. But you haven't been paying the reciprocity. You have not been paying your obedience to the Ten Commandments. And so, naturally, the other contracting party, he's just mad as hell. You know, the same thing happens when you go in and buy a car. And you make three payments, and then you start skipping payments. And the guy that sold you the car gets mad as hell because you're not keeping up on your payments. And he starts talking nasty talk like, I'm going to repossess the car. And then I'm going to sue you and take a default judgment and make you pay for the damn thing anyway. You know, people get like that when they don't get paid. When they don't get their half, they don't get what they think they're entitled to. You're like that, I'm like that, God's like that, everybody gets that way. So here in Deuteronomy 28, verse 14, he says, and you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. To go after other gods. To go after the gods of Mississippi. And rebuild your casinos and whorehouses before you obey me and keep my commandments. You know, you go to war over in Iraq, but you didn't get authorization from the high priest first. And you went into a Federal Reserve system with fiat paper currency, and you abandoned gold and silver, which you have written in your Constitution at Article 1, Section 10. So number one, you don't obey God, you don't even obey your own laws in your own Constitution. Now you people are getting out of control, and you're lawless. This is called iniquity. And so here he's telling you in verse 14, he says, I'm commanding you, don't do that. In verse 15, he tells you why. He says, it shall come to pass if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. All right. Now, Hurricane Katrina is just one of those curses. That's all. It's not the only one. It's just one of many. And we saw here in Leviticus 26, he says, I'm going to punish you seven times more. Now, he doesn't use that term seven times more here in Deuteronomy 28. But remember, the scripture is written line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so I thought I would put these five or six chapters together for you here and tell you, well, here's what the problem is. Here's why we're getting these natural calamities, natural disasters. Kids, there's nothing natural about them. They are being caused. There's a cause and effect relationship. They are the results of. There's something that you're doing, and it's not burning gasoline and causing global warming. That's not your problem. That's not what you're doing. That's what Al Gore and George Bush and the Republicans and Democrats are telling you. They're telling you, fix your minds on burning coal in your coal-fired power plants. That's what's causing global warming. Oh, no, 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 no. No, that's not true. No, no. Sunspots. are causing global warming. Sunspots are at a peak. Sunspots are created and caused by a power beyond Pacific Gas and Electric Company and Exxon Mobil and General Motors and Ford and the United States government combined. There's something bigger, badder, and worser going on here, children. All right. Hey, let me give you a reminder here before we get into chapter 28 here. This is Deuteronomy 28. While we're going through this, here, I gotta tell you this for the FCC. Take a break right here. Run over and get your Bible and bring it back over here and you'll be ready right after this. You're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet daily. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools total. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Talking about natural disasters. Now, as a prelude to Deuteronomy chapter 28, I want to remind you that down in Georgia there's a big fire in the Okefenokee Swamp. And it's burning the peat down there, 10 feet deep down into the ground. They need a hurricane. One of the fire guys down there, the Forest Service guy, says what we need is a hurricane with 10 inches of rain. Well, the hurricane season doesn't start until June 1st, and I imagine that a hurricane will come and put that fire out. It's about the size of Ozark County, 800 square miles as of last night. And we call that a natural disaster, a natural catastrophe. And I'm here to tell you there's nothing natural about it. The drought, first of all, that caused the fire conditions was caused by global warming, which was caused by the sunspots, which was caused by God, which was caused by our sin, which was the breach of, or the abrogation of the terms and conditions on our half of the contract negotiated by our forefathers and Moses with God in 1329 BC. Now that's where the cause and effect relationship goes. And this is being explained in graphic detail by God himself here in the scripture. He's telling you the answer to the riddle. And I showed you a little earlier, the National Geographic just ignores him. George Bush and the Congress of the United States and the preachers and all the rest of the Holy Joes and Sky Pilots, they just totally ignore God altogether. And I think that probably adds a little bit more to his violent nature. I say violent nature. He's a nice guy, but boy, is this guy violent. I mean, this guy gets real, real nasty. Listen to some of what he says here. In verse 16, he says, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. You know, those are birth defects. And the fruit of your land, and the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Eternal, that's me, that's God, shall send upon you cursing and vexation and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, for to do, until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. All right, that's quite a little statement. And that's in verses 16 through 20. He says, you've forsaken me. Well, now, how did you people down in New Orleans do that? How's this Mardi Gras thing? Now, Mardi Gras, that's a pretty famous holiday, isn't it? And you people down in New Orleans, God, you just love your Mardi Gras. Did you people down in New Orleans ever practice the Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Tabernacles, Last Great Day, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement? You ever heard of those? Okay. Well, over in Leviticus chapter 23, just to rub a little salt in your wound over here, in Leviticus chapter 23, keeping in mind now, this is Old Testament stuff, and you Christians ought not to be listening to this, but Jesus, you know, the guy that you should be listening to, he cited from the Old Testament 435 times. Did you know that? Well, he didn't personally, but the New Testament does 435 times. And he cited from the Old Testament many times. Did you get that? And over here in Leviticus chapter 23 are these seven annual holy days. And I looked through here diligently, and I couldn't find Mardi Gras anywhere. Mardi Gras isn't in here. It's not one of the holy days that God... I'm talking about the Creator now. I'm not talking about your God. I'm sure that you got a nice God, and I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm talking about this guy, the violent guy, the guy that sends hurricanes, the guy that says, I'm going to curse you when you come in and curse you when you go out. I'm going to send hurricanes and tornadoes. I'm going to raise hell with you. Now, you know, if you think that your God is as powerful as this God, then why don't you send him out here and let him do battle, and let's see if your God can stop this guy. Because this has been tested once before. There was a guy by the name of Elijah, and there were 450 Baal prophets. And so this Elijah, he is representing this God here, the violent God, and he put an offering out here on a pile of rocks. And fire came down from the sky, consumed the offering, consumed the rocks, consumed all the water that was in there. And then Elijah, when he got through, went over the 450 Baal prophets and cut off their heads, killed all 450 of them. It's like going up to Boston and killing 450 Catholic priests, all in one fell swoop. And that made Elijah about as popular, you know, as a Protestant in the Vatican. And the queen, you know, her name was Jezebel. She said she was so mad. She was a Catholic too. She was so mad. She said, "I'm not going to eat until that SOB is dead. I'm going to kill him." And so Elijah had to deliver a message, and he did. He went into the palace. It's quite a little story. He went into the palace. He says, "Lady, before the sun rises, the dogs will be licking your blood out of the dust." I'm sure that made her real happy. And by golly, the next morning, before the sun rose, the dogs were licking her blood out of the dust. And Elijah walked out. Yeah. Now, you know, we've tested these gods before. And this God he's kind of uppity. And he says, you know, bring on your gods and let's test them. So you go ahead and you bring on your gods, and let's see if we can stop any of these hurricanes and tornadoes, or let's do a little better. Can you stop this God from producing these hurricanes and tornadoes? Because he says he's going to bring seven times more. If you people down in New Orleans don't think you got enough this time, he says, I'm going to get you seven times worse next time. Seven times worse. I thought that hurricane was plenty. I didn't think anybody needed to be whipped seven times worse than that. You know, to persist in this and get whipped seven times worse, you got to be brain dead. And this guy says he's going to do it to you again. I don't think he's going to do it to you until you get that city rebuilt. No point from his point of view in coming down there and sending you three Hurricane Katrinas in 3 years in a row. That'd save you a lot of money. No, he's going to wait until you rebuild the whole Gulf Coast. He's going to wait until you spend all your money, all of your time, effort, and energy, and all of your work and your labor and your sweat and your blood and your tears, and you rebuild the whole thing. Then he's going to destroy it again. How are you going to like that? So that's why I suggested to you, you know, maybe the Ten Commandments ain't near as bad as we thought they were. I know the preachers don't like them, and the preachers are railing against the Ten Commandments, and they rail against the law of God, but I took a look at them, and I'd suggest you do the same thing. Thou shalt not steal ain't near as bad as maybe you thought it was. And I think it's a hell of a lot better than the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for a heavy progressive income tax, or the fifth plank, which calls for a central bank, or the tenth plank, which calls for public schools. I think if you'd abandon the public school system, abandon the Federal Reserve notes and the central bank, and quit paying the income tax, I think you'd be money ahead. Honest to God, I think you'd be better served. But again, I'm not here to tell you what to do, but hey, let me tell you a little bit more about this guy. Verse 21, he says, "The Eternal shall make the pestilence cleave unto you until he has consumed you from off of the land where you go in to possess it." He says, "I'm going to send disease epidemics." Now listen, he's already done that. We're not talking about here's something he's going to do. It's already past tense. In 1900, the cancer rate in this country was 1 in 33. It's 1 out of 2 today. It's 50%. Now, kids, let's take 1 and divide that by 33. I mean, that's 0.030%. I mean, you're up to 50%. From 0.03 to 50% in 100 years, I'd say we're moving in the right direction. If you're looking to die young, live hard, and leave beautiful memories, you're on the right track. Stick with it. Don't deviate. Now, if you want to live a little longer, I'd suggest that maybe you want to get off this track, because that light that you see coming through that tunnel ain't the light at the end of the tunnel. It's an oncoming train. Get off the tracks. Oncoming train. Get off the tracks. Then he goes on and says, well, the Eternal will smite you with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with the blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Perish. That's dead all over, just like Rover. Now, you know, the last time this Hurricane Katrina didn't kill very many people. You know, you got 100,000 dead in Kashmir. You got 250,000 dead out there in Indonesia. That's all bad, but it's getting worse. They're more violent, and they're getting closer together. And this guy's getting meaner by the day. And then he says, you know, you people aren't listening to me, and you're not very likely to. And I read you a little section out of National Geographic, and they don't even give God credit. You'd think, well, this dirty God over here, look what he's doing to us. We ought to pray to Baal. No, sir, they ignored him totally, and they didn't give him the time of day. So not only won't you practice the Ten Commandments, on top of that, you ignore him, give him the finger, and then you just provoke him to even more anger. Do you people think that's very wise? I mean, this guy's pretty violent already. I had a guy up here from Texas the other day, and he's telling me about the history of Texas, you know, and about how they're fighting the Spanish, and they're fighting the Mexicans, and they're fighting the Indians. And I said, well, you know, you Texans are nice guys, but you're a violent bunch. You know, watch out for them Texans, because the Texans are violent people. Their history just demonstrates it. Now, let me show you this. You take a look here in the Scripture. You take a look here in the Bible. This God is a violent guy. Violent. Kills people. And he ain't just killing, you know, a couple hundred of them. You take a look at Noah's flood. He killed everybody in the world except 8 people. Now, I don't know how many that was. He didn't say, I killed 1,387,414 or 2,287,000,000. The numbers aren't there. But if the birth rate was 2.3% when Adam and Eve first met in the garden, for 1,656 years, the population was 2.5 billion people. He only saved 8 alive out of that. Sounds violent to me. We got out to the Red Sea. Actually, it was the Gulf of Aqaba, for those of you that are Bible scholars, but, you know, we call it the Red Sea crossing. And Moses, you know, he spread his arms out and he held his staff up and the waters divided. Hey, this guy's got some real talent. If you can divide the Gulf of Aqaba, 110-foot wall of water on both sides and walk through there, now that's what I call a miracle. I call that big-time miracle. And then when the Egyptians tried that same trick on the same afternoon, the walls of water collapsed and killed 450,000. That's what Josephus said. He said killed 450,000 Egyptians in 20 minutes. If that ain't violent, you tell me what is violent. This guy is just real violent. I don't think this is the kind of guy you should be giving the finger to. Do you? And it gets worse. And then he goes on to say, and the heaven that's over your head shall be brass, and the earth that's under you shall be iron. Hey, listen, that's called drought. That's what you got out here in the Colorado Basin. Now, you've got 5 million acre-feet of water running through there every year, down from 15 million. You're running at about one-third what it was 20 years ago. Hey, kids, wake up. Wake up down there in Los Angeles and San Diego. Pay attention now. This guy says, I'm going to turn your heaven to iron and your earth to brass. He's done it before. Says, I'm going to do it again. How thirsty do you have to get? That's why I moved out of the West. I said, hell, I've had enough of this. You know, it rains on the just and on the unjust. You got so many people out there in the West that are criminal that you're shutting off your rain out there. And you're burning 10 million acres a year. You know, I don't know how many acres you've got to burn, but you know you burn 10 million a year for 100 years. Let's see how many 10 million is. Let me plug that into my famous Sharp. There's 1 million. There's 10 million. Now let's divide 10 million by 640 acres, and that's 15,625 square miles a year being burned up. Let's see how big a piece of real estate that is. Rhode Island is 1,026 square miles. That's 15 Rhode Islands a year. Massachusetts is 5,000 square miles. That's 3 Massachusetts a year. Do you get that, kids? Now, that's a lot of real estate. And he says it's going to get worse. He says, I'm going to punish you 7 times more for your sins. Hey, you people out there in California, you got to have 7 times more before you wake up? I don't know. I'm just asking the question. I'm just a reporter reporting to you. This is what this guy says. Now, I don't know what your preacher told you last Sunday, but he wasn't reading out of Deuteronomy 28. I'm reading out of Deuteronomy 28, and it gets worse. He says, the Eternal, the Lord, shall make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon you until you be destroyed. Destroyed. That's dead. I'm going to do this until I kill all of you. Now, the difference is that when the big flood came, you know, with Noah, he just killed everybody suddenly, but he gave him 120 years. You know, you had this lunatic fringe out here. He must have been a right-wing reactionary radical like Ron Paul, building an ark for about 120 years. I imagine somebody must have come up and said, hey, dude, why are you building that ark? Because there's a big flood coming. You know, if I said to you people, because there's a great depression coming, because there's a great economic collapse coming, I think you people would look at me and say, a guy needs to be locked up. He's a loony. Suffering from Looney Tunes. Well, so, you know, who wants to listen to an old man without a degree from college? And so I just said, well, I was reading from the Bible one day, and the reason I'm reading from the Bible one day is because the preachers don't read from the Bible, and the evolutionists and the politicians won't. They could, but they won't. And the preachers, they don't want to tell you what's going on here, because if they were to tell you, you people might get upset and excited and say, well, why in hell didn't you tell us this before? That's because they don't want to upset you. Those Christian churches here in America, they've got 501c3 tax exemption, and they teach what the official party line is. And the official party line comes right out of Washington, D.C. And they're going to tell you what you people want to hear and what your government wants you to know. And that's what you've heard, and that's what you know. But there was a little bit more to the story, so that's why I thought I'd share this with you. Now, this is God speaking. He says, I'm bummed out, I'm ticked off, and I'm going to do this to you because of your sins. It's not random chance. That earthquake didn't happen there just by accident. And the next one, wherever it's going to happen, isn't going to happen by accident. It's going to happen by direct cause and effect relationship. And that rain out there in the West that you need, you want to change in the weather out there, you need to practice the Ten Commandments. I think you people in California and Idaho, I think you'll get more mileage out of thou shalt not steal than you're going to get out of a heavy progressive income tax. I think you're going to get more mileage out of thou shalt not commit adultery than you're going to get out of a central bank called the Federal Reserve. Now, you know, let your conscience be your guide. Americans are communists. Americans love communism. And the reason we know that is because they practice it so well. I mean, you know, just think about it. Just think about it. Public school. We had no public schools in this country until 1836. And then public school was not public policy until after 1900. 1886, you Californians out there, you fruitcakes out there in California, start a public school system in 1886. That was the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Do you know that? Did you know that your God told you to educate your kids at home? And did you know he told you to educate them to his law, the Ten Commandments? Did you know that? Now, instead, you send them to the public school and you teach them the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and then you ban the 10 Commandments from the public school. Hell, you don't even give them equal time. Hell, even Jim Lehrer on the NewsHour gives the other side, you know, equal time. Kinda. A little bit. Some of the time. Let them, you know, put in their 2 cents worth. You don't find the Ten Commandments getting their 2 cents worth in the public schools. So the guy that wrote the Ten Commandments, you know, he's got a beef with you. And then you're getting upset over here, and you go to your church, and your preacher says, well, God's ways are just so high, we just can't know why God does what he's doing. I don't know why you can't. He's telling you very plainly right here, you give me the finger, I kick you in the ass. How do you like it? All right, now, he goes on, he says a little bit more. He says, the Lord's going to make the rain of your land powder and dust. That's what we had in the Great Depression years. We had economic collapse at the same time we had drought. Boys and girls, we got drought, and we're about to have economic collapse. We're going to get the same thing again, only this time's going to be worse than the last time. Much worse. Remember that 7 times that he was talking about? He said, I'm going to lean on you with the Great Depression of the 1930s, and I'm going to kick you in the hiney, but the next time, I'm going to make it 7 times worse. I would guesstimate that whatever the numbers are for the 1930s will be 7 times worse in the 2000s. Well, let's just watch and see. I mean, he's the one that said 7 times. I didn't. seems like to me twice as much would be more than adequate. But he was ticked off when he said that. I'm pretty sure he was bummed out, and he said, "Now I'm gonna get you seven times worse. I think the drought's going to be seven times worse. The economic consequences are going to be seven times worse." And then he makes another statement. He says, "And if you won't be reformed by that," which he evidently doesn't think we will be, he said, "I'm going to get you a third time, seven times worse than that." Well, let me tell you, when we get through with this next drought and this next Great Depression, we will be totally brain dead if we have to go through a third one. Totally brain dead. No hope. Now, there might be a few guys out there that have a little hope. Maybe. He says, "The Eternal will cause you to be smitten before your enemies." That's your enemies over in Iraq. "He's going to cause you to be smitten. And you shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth." You're going to lose that war over there in Iraq, children. And then there's a gang going to come over here to the United States, and they are going to lay siege against the United States. I presume that's the Chinese. And they're going to reduce you to eating your children. I'll show you that in the next program. Next broadcast. Cannibalism. Well, listen, if you can't learn from the drought and you can't learn from the economic calamity, the Great Depression of the 2000s, well, then I guess cannibalism's the next step. I guess that's seven times worse. Because as you go through this prophecy in Deuteronomy 28, he says it gets worse and worse and worse and worse until finally we're destroyed. All of us. Destroyed from off the land. He's going to take a third of us and kill us with a war. He's going to take a third of us and kill us with famine. Then he's going to take the last third and deport you to all the nations around the world as slaves and bondservants. That's what's coming. That's in tomorrow night's broadcast. That's tomorrow night here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I want to remind you that I didn't write this. So don't get mad at me because I'm the messenger. And I'm not even a crummy preacher. And you ought to ask your preacher next Sunday, "Hey, what about that Deuteronomy 28? What about Leviticus 26? Why don't you get up there and tell us what's going on here? Clue us in. Give us some information, would you?" He said, "I'm going to smite you," in verse 27, "with the botch of Egypt." You know what the botch of Egypt is? That's cancer. Cancer. The botch of Egypt. Now, if I went out here and I said, "Well, I think you've got cancer," see, that's a copyrighted trade name. That belongs to the American Medical Association. But somebody says, "Well, the botch of Egypt." "Oh, what's that?" "Huh?" Hey, kids, I'm not telling you what's coming. It's already here. Cancer is your number two killer. Heart disease is your number one killer. These diseases, these plagues are already upon us. It's not something that's coming. It's already here. And it's going to get worse if you don't shape up. That's what he's telling you. Hey, I'm about out of time. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet daily. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. Hey, we're out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.